So good to see you. Can you hear me? Okay. Well, so today we get to wrap up our series, Pray This Way. We'll look at the final piece of this amazing prayer that Christ gave us as an example. And as we dive into the prayer in this last series, this last message, this won't work. Oh, it's on the off here. There we go. Somebody flipped it off. I want to look at this here. What is this? It's a keyboard. And what do? You push the buttons, right? And so what I've been trying to do is give pictures and make comparisons to prayer, give analogies to prayer. And so this time it's a keyboard, and here's the idea. Whenever you are going to be typing on a keyboard, you push the buttons and you get words, right? And so I'm afraid that sometimes whenever we pray, it's the same way, actually. On the way here this morning, I was with Ellie. Ellie, my daughter, came in early to help set up, and so we were the part of the setup team, some of the ladies as well. By the way, Filipino ladies on Team B who came in on your day off to help set up, thank you. Really appreciate you guys helping. But we came in this morning early, and so Ellie, our daughter, she sneezed, and I said, thank you. Is that okay?
No.
No, what are you supposed to say?
Bless you,
right? But what happened? I said the wrong one, didn't I? So when someone sneezes, you say, bless you, or God bless you if you're brave, right? So bless you. But I pushed the wrong button in my head, didn't I? I pushed the wrong button. I pushed the thank you button instead of the bless you button, right? Does anybody else ever do that? You push the wrong button in your head, right? And so somebody says, hey, have a good day. Okay. And you say something back to them, you're like, oh, that was wrong, right? You feel so awkward. You're like, oh, I said the wrong phrase. It's so weird. But we do that with our prayers sometimes. We have these buttons that we push, and we just kind of push buttons. And so one of them may be the greeting, Dear Heavenly Father, right? There's nothing wrong with that intro to a prayer, but maybe we're just pushing a button. I need a greeting, Dear Heavenly Father. What's the next thing we normally say? Thank you for this day. And for your many other blessings, right? So now if you're praying a prayer for food, this is definitely a button-pushing prayer, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, for this food. May it be the nourishment of our bodies. So I love it whenever little kids pray that. They have no idea what they're saying, right? They just know that's what you're supposed to say before you eat. If I say these things, then we get to eat food, right? So if I push the buttons, then we go through the prayer. So I want us to think about whenever we pray, are we just pushing buttons? You know, we don't really have it as much here, but in one of the churches where I grew up, you know, they would have the deacons come up and say an offering prayer. And a lot of times you would hear the guys, bless the gift and the giver, right? People are praying for the food. Bless the hands that prepare the food. That's a great prayer, but I wonder if we're just pushing buttons whenever we are praying sometimes. My grandfather, I love my grandfather, but whenever he prays for the food, he says the same prayer every time. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this food and for your many other blessings. Guide us in all our ways and forgive us of our sins. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's that exact prayer. My whole life I've heard him pray that prayer. And you know what? He's sincere. He means it, okay? And so if you're sincere and you're actually talking to God, that's fine. But if you're just pushing buttons to kind of fill a spot, I'm supposed to say some prayers, hey, what if we actually speak to him and talk to him like a person? I mean, if I talk to my wife like that, hi, honey, good to see you. Oh, how are you? You know, that would not be good, right? And so whenever we talk to God, we need to have a conversation with him. He's a person. He is a living person, and he knows when we're just pushing buttons. So I encourage you, as you pray, move past just pushing buttons and saying phrases and putting things together that you heard someone else pray that sounded good, and just talk to him. Just speak directly to him from your heart. Let it be real. Let it be ugly even if it's not perfect or doesn't sound as good as the next person. Just be real with him and have a conversation. So as we move forward, let's look at what we've talked about before. Just a quick review. This is going to be Battle the Computer Day, maybe. We'll just do it this way. All right, so we're trying to review. So at the very first, we said, hey, the first phrase, Our Father, reminds us to pray with what? We pray with identity. We remember, Our, we're part of community. Father, we're His children. We've been adopted into His family. We can call Him God. We can call Him Father. Incredible. And the next one, we say, in heaven, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We pray with what? Whoa, look at you. I can't believe I get to talk directly to you. And I remember, you are great. We pray with awe. Your kingdom come, your will be done, means we're going to pray with perspective. It's not about what I want. It's about what you want. Your kingdom, your will be done. Then we turn a corner. We say, give us this day our daily bread, and reminds us to pray with faith. I may not see how it's all going to work out, but I trust you today. I trust you today, Lord. Forgive us as we forgive those who've sinned against us. We pray with humility. It's not easy to forgive or to ask for forgiveness. But we have to, and so we have to be humble and come before him. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We covered this last week briefly, the first half. We pray with hope because we know we're in a struggle, as Dr. Heimlich talked about, this ongoing struggle, the bad habits, the things that are in our lives that annoy us. And so we have hope that he will deliver us and set us free. So as we go on, is it, you want to try this one? Is it the same thing? Backwards? Forwards? Hey, Evelyn. Everybody, can we say thanks, Evelyn? Incredible. Thank you very much. It seems small, but no, it's massive, actually. So as we go forward, let's just all together, let's pray this prayer to our Father. Can we do that? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, Father, we do just want to come before you, not with fancy phrases or pushing buttons on little collections of words that we've heard, but we want to come to you with hearts that are genuine and appreciate that we can speak directly to the God of the universe. And we say, thank you, Jesus, thank you for the example that you've given us and for all that you've put in this prayer. And as we unpack this last piece, I pray that you will give us an incredible hope, an incredible joy at being your children. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so the phrase today is the last part, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. And let me just ask you a question. Is there evil in the world? Yes. Let me hear you. Is there evil in the world?
Yes.
It's all around us, right? And now, thankfully, God's given us the ability to kind of push those things aside and keep focusing on good things. But if we open our eyes, it's all around us. And in some cases, it's in our lives, in our families, in our own daily situation. We see, wow, it's not okay. There is evil going on. And so why is that? What's really happening here? Well, here's what's happening. Jesus told us in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Those sound pretty different, right? Stealing, killing, destroying, abundant life, those are not the same. And so what's happening in your life, around your life, in the world all around us, is a massive battle. There is a war going on. And it's happening in your life as well. Satan trying to destroy you, and please remember, that is his goal. He is not your friend. He wants to take you out, completely wipe you out. That's his goal. And God is right there, and he wants to give you abundant life. And so these two are right there working on you, trying so hard to have their way. It reminds me of something like the Hong Kong Sevens, right? You have these two teams down on the field, on the pitch, and the people around are cheering for their guys, right? And so they're excited when something good happens for their guys. And whenever something bad happens, they're like, ooh, and they're quiet, right? You know how that is whenever your team is losing. You're just like, oh. And it's hard to cheer in that moment. But then something good happens. You're like, yeah. I was going to yell, but that would scare you. So, no. But that's what's happening in your life. And so there are angels. Listen to me. There are angels and there are demons watching you. All the time. Just like this. You're the one on the pitch, on the field. You're the one. And the angels and the demons are watching. And they're trying to influence all that they can. And whenever you do something that's good, the angels are like, yeah. And whenever you do something stupid, the demons are like, yeah. And the angels are like, oh. Right? That's happening. It's happening. Trust me. You can't see it, but it's happening. How do we know? Well, Scripture's given us examples. I talked about that last week. How the demons have to come before God, and they talk about the game. They talk about what's been happening. So when you think you're all by yourself, remember, you're not. The angels and demons are watching you. And you have that decision. Nobody's watching. No, a bunch of somebodies are watching. And somebody's going to be cheering on decided whichever way you decide to go. Someone's going to be cheering. Who's it going to be, the angels or the demons? There's a cosmic battle going on in your life. Please, trust me. And there's evil waiting and trying to overtake. And there's good, the life that God wants to give in your life. It's happening. And so many times, I'm afraid, I know in my life, and maybe yours as well, the angels are quiet. They're like, man, Danny, you blew it again. Right? And so in those moments, I'm just like, ah, it's frustrating. You know, there's so many stories out there. There's so many movies out there that have this theme to them, right? I've got four of them on the screen here. Superman, The Matrix, Chronicles of Narnia, even Star Wars. And they have this theme. They all have kind of the same theme, right? There are these people, and they're in trouble, and then a hero comes in and saves the day, right? And sometimes the hero dies in the process, right? I mean, you've seen this before. Now, not only is it in the big people movies, it's also all in the kids' movies. I'm telling you, Toy Story 3 made me cry. It made me cry. Anybody else brave enough to say, yeah, thank you. See, a nice big strapping man also cried, right? So we're watching this movie. It's a kids' movie. My kids look at me, what's wrong with Daddy? I was like, oh, Woody, I mean, he's in the box, right? Same thing with Inside Out. In fact, I had a clip I was going to show, but it would have been so depressing, right? Bing Bong. Bing Bong, why did y'all, you're so, right? I mean, Disney has figured this out. The guy, Flynn, he dies. So over and over again, you have these heroes that give up their lives to save the people who are in trouble, right? And you know why those stories grab our hearts? Do you know why they're so meaningful? Why we cry? Do you know why? Because we are wired for the same story, because it is the story. That story is the story. It's what's happening all around us. And so in our hearts, we are wired for this hero, savior story. The evil comes in, and the hero comes and saves us. He rescues us. He delivers us. And so this prayer is, deliver us from evil. But the question is this one. Why would God deliver us from evil? Why would God deliver us from evil? Because we've made these decisions on our own, right? And we know, you know, sometimes the best thing for people who make decisions that are not good is to feel the consequences. Because then you learn, oh, when I do this, here are the consequences. I'm not going to do that anymore. So why does God have a desire to deliver us? Why would he? Jesus said, as you're praying, say, deliver us from evil. But why would he? Anybody know? Why would God deliver us from evil? I'm listening. He loves us. Absolutely. Okay. Is there another reason? We're his children, so he wants what's best for us, right? So parents, do you want your children to suffer? No, you want to rescue them. And so we're his children, he loves us, he wants what's best for us. But I just want to ask this, is there another reason? And of course, you know, if I'm asking the question, I think there is, right? and I'm going to tell you. And so I'm really excited about this. Guys, so let me just say quickly, thank you. Thank you. And I'm not pushing the wrong button, okay? Thank you for allowing us to just walk through these scriptures little chunks at a time, okay? Because we're really just able to zoom in and say, okay, what's happening in this phrase, and celebrate and be excited about what God has put together in this short little prayer. It's so power-packed. And so as we pray it, there's so much that it means. So thank you for being willing to go slowly through all of this, because I'm learning about this prayer. You know the best way to learn, right? Teach, right? And so as I began this series, I didn't see what I'm about to share with you. And I'm so excited about it, okay? And so here we go. I really believe that there is incredible structure in the Lord's Prayer. And we could talk about structure and God another time. If you look through history, you can look and see God loves structure. Okay, it's really pretty impressive how he has arranged things. But I also enjoy structure. And so, you know, I was told as I'm doing the research on this and I'm, you know, reading commentaries and so on, okay, what are the pieces? And so, well, you have the greeting at the beginning, right? Our Father, right, who is in heaven. So that's the greeting. And then you go into these six petitions. Remember, we've talked about these six petitions. And so as I'm reading about these six petitions, I'm wondering, okay, where do these go? Is it just kind of the thrown in there? Or is there some thought behind how these are put together? And so as I was reading one commentary, the guy was saying that there's an ascending theme. Ascending means going up, right? So this ascending theme to the petitions. But let's look at that. We start off with hallowed be your name. That sounds pretty big to me, right? And then your kingdom come. Okay, that's pretty big too, I would say. Your will be done. That one is obviously big, but sometimes I know his will is not done. And then I'm not sure. Give us this day our daily bread. That's definitely not up here with hallowed be your name, right? So I'm like, okay, the guy said ascending. I don't think so. I'm not sure it's ascending. Thank you for trying. Good idea, but probably not ascending. And then some other people were saying different pieces and so on. But as you look at this, I mean, seriously, look at it, okay? So you have hallowed be your name. That's pretty big. Your kingdom come. That's also pretty big. Your will be done. It seems to be coming down, right? It seems to be coming descending, not ascending. And then you have give us this day our daily bread. I don't know if you can go any lower than that. Because we know that there are times when we don't have daily bread and we make it. Anybody not eating for a whole day? And here you are, right? Good job. You made it. All right. So we survived that one. So that's not as big a deal. And forgiving us, that's a pretty big deal. I think forgiveness is a big deal. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That sounds pretty big too. What's going on with this structure, right? So here's what I want to say. There is a literary device called a chiasm or a chiastic structure, okay? And let me walk you through this. So all of you are like, okay, Danny, we have kids in the service and you're talking about literary structure? Are you kidding me, right? Let's see if we can make it fun though, all right? So a chiastic structure, basically here's how it works. You start off with A and then you go to B and then you go to C, right? A, B, C, but you don't go to D, sorry. It's A, B, C, and then you go to C prime, B prime, back to A prime. Okay, really smart people do this. Let me give you a better example. Red, yellow, blue. You ready for it? We're going to go back now. Sky, sun, rose. Ah, you see it, don't you? Do you? Okay. You may have to explain to your neighbor. I see some people doing that. All right? That's okay. So red, yellow, blue. Let's talk about something blue, the sky. And then we're going to talk about something yellow, the sun. And then something red, a rose. Ah, I see. Cool. You see why only smart people can speak this way. I can't do it. All right? For me, whenever I'm trying to, like, explain something, I'm a two-reason guy. All right? Somebody says, so what do you think about this? Oh, I'll give you two reasons. Why not three? I can't remember three. Three is too many. Three fries all my circuits. But if I can do two, I'll be happy. All right? So I can't do this, but some people do. Kids, I want to see if you can help me on this one. Let's try again. All right, so this time the colors are this. Green, purple, orange. So I want somebody to give me the next one. Carrot. Perfect. All right? And then back to? Plum. Man, these guys are brilliant. Okay? And the last one at the top? Yes. I heard grass or moss. Yes. Okay, give the kids a hand. Great job, kids. So this concept of the chiastic structure, going down and then going back with the idea, is all through Scripture, actually. The Old Testament, there's lots of this in here. In fact, the account of the flood is actually this massive chiastic structure, and one of them jumped out. D decided to go crazy on us, so I'm not sure why. But you can look at this amazing structure that's built in over three chapters in Genesis, and it just lines up. And I look at that and I say, whoa! Somebody was really smart, because you told the story and you put it in this order. Whoa, that's really, really impressive. Not only is it in Genesis, but there's lots of places in the Psalms where these writers, inspired by the Holy Spirit, are writing out. Okay, and so God is giving them the structure. And then another one that's easy, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, earlier, before he gives us the Lord's Prayer, he gives us this one. He says this: no one can serve two masters. You see it? Okay, two masters. For either he will hate the one, B, and love the other, C, and then we jump down to C prime, or he will be devoted, we're still loving, right? Or, and despise, back like the hate, you cannot serve God and wealth, two masters. You see that? It's all through the Bible. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's a chiasm in the Lord's Prayer. And let's think about that and see what it means. So as we go forward, here are the elements, right? You have the greeting. And then you have six petitions. Here's what you have to do. You have to toss the greeting out of the chiasm. And I've seen guys put a chiasm together with the greeting in. That throws everything off. Take the greeting out, and here's what you get. You're like, Danny, you're weird. Like, no, this is so cool. This is amazing. Anybody else got goosebumps right now? Just me. All right, let me tell you why. It's so cool, all right? So we have, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. You, right? And then we come back. Give us this day our daily bread, like your will. Forgive us as we forgive for your kingdom. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil, so that your name can be hallowed. Oh, that's really cool. Let me add one more piece to it that might be the case. After he says, your will be done, he says, on earth as it is in heaven. And sometimes in a chiasm, you have one that's a turning point. So that would be the X. So here's everything that's happening in heaven. Petition 1, petition 2, and petition 3. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And then, just like it is in heaven, let it be on earth. And let's talk about what that looks like. Give us this day our daily bread. But your will be done. Your will be done. And if I don't get bread today, all right. That's all right. Your will be done. Forgive us our debts so that your kingdom can come. Remember what the kingdom of God is? The kingdom of God is where God reigns. And he won't reign over a place that's covered in sin. So whenever we come to him and say, forgive me, he moves in and his kingdom advances. And then whenever we forgive someone else, we love them and we forgive them. Now his kingdom is advancing. You see, the world doesn't know what to do with this forgiveness concept. They really don't. If you think about it, think about marriage, for instance. When somebody does, a spouse does something terrible to the other spouse, whatever it may be, the world says, well, you should just, and there's some kind of a consequence or some kind of revenge, right? But if we forgive, the world scratches their head and says, why? And the kingdom of God advances. This is how his kingdom comes. It's through forgiveness. It's through love. Whenever we love someone enough to turn the other cheek. You see, when someone slaps you, the natural reaction, the world's reaction, is to slap them back. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus said, don't resist an evil person. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. And so whenever we forgive, the kingdom of God has a chance to advance. This forgiveness piece is massive. And so whenever I'm thinking about this, I'm like, God, I want your kingdom to advance. So help me to bring your forgiveness into another place in my life where I'm not following you, where sin is king and you're not. I want you to be king. So forgive me. Remove the sin. And let your kingdom reign in this part of my life. In this relationship, let me offer forgiveness or let me ask for forgiveness because I want your kingdom to advance. And so forgiveness and the kingdom are connected. But here's the fun and the final one here. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And why is that? We just talked about it. Because our actions have a spiritual celebration or sadness, right? The angels or the demons are going to celebrate, or they're going to jeer, depending on what we do. And we think, again, we think it doesn't matter the things that we do when we're all by ourselves. No, this won't affect anyone else. No, it does. It affects the name of Jesus. It affects the name of God. How many of us know people who will no longer come to church because of what one person who claims the name of Jesus did to them? Right? And so whenever we are acting, we bear the name of God. And so we say, Lord, help us, deliver us from temptation, deliver us from evil, so that your name can be hallowed, so that people can worship and honor you and lift up your name. Help me in my life to honor you. And all these small decisions that seem like no big deal to remember, no, they reflect on you. I just think about God and Satan coming before him. And God says, have you looked at my servant Job? Have you looked at my servant Job? There's this heavenly conversation about a person because he was resisting the temptation. He was doing what was right. What's the conversation about you? What do God and Satan talk about when they talk about you? Is God saying, yeah, man, we're kicking your tail, Satan? Or is Satan getting to brag? Because God's name's at stake. So deliver us from evil. Please, deliver us from evil. But I still have the question, why? Why would God deliver us from evil? He loves us, yes. He wants what's best for us, yes. But what does God want? He wants his name to be hallowed. And whenever he rescues us, he's the hero. He's the hero because the reality is, if we think that we can make the right decision in all of these crossroads, we are foolish. We cannot. History tells us we cannot. And so what we need is a savior. We need a hero to come in and to save us. We need a hero who will give up his life in our place because we can't get it right on our own. You say, I'm not sure God really wants to hallow his own name. That sounds kind of arrogant. Well, let's look at some scriptures just very quickly. Jeremiah 14:7. Though your iniquities testify against us, act, O Lord. Though our iniquities testify against us, act, O Lord, for your name's sake. Psalm 31:3, for you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. Psalm 115:1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Isaiah 48:9 through 11, this is God talking, for my name's sake I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you. Jump down to 11. For my own sake, for my own sake, he repeats it, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? See, this changes things, right? You see, we think this is just about us. Let's keep going before I get sidetracked here. Psalm 25:11. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Psalm 23:3. We know this verse well. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. I thought it wouldn't matter if I just do these things on my own and nobody's watching and nobody cares. No, it matters. It matters. It matters for his name's sake. We need him to rescue us. We need him to deliver us because there's something much bigger happening, something huge, a massive story that's playing out in our lives, one decision at a time. And the good news is he wants to help us because it's for his name's sake. And so we can pray with hope. We can pray with hope that he wants to help us. He wants to come and rescue. He provides a way out. He provides strength. He wants to be the hero because that's who he is. And if we give him the chance, he will be the hero. There's this word that I absolutely love. Hosanna. What does this word mean? Anybody know? Yes?
Save us.
You see, when do we remember hearing this word? Jesus on the way into Jerusalem, right? You hear it in songs. But most of the time, whenever we think of the word, we think it's like praise you, right? Like Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, yay, right? Like praise you, praise you, praise you. And we use it like it's a praise word, and it is a praise word. But what the actual meaning of Hosanna is, save us. Now, why is that a praise? It is a praise, but why? Why is save us not a complaint or an annoying request to God? Save us is praise because it says, I believe you can. I believe you can save me, so save me, Savior. Help me, great and powerful God. I know that you can, and so I'm saying, help me. Save me. Deliver me from evil. And I have hope that you will. I trust that you will because you are a rescuing, saving, evil-delivering God. You help us. You want to help us. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Worship team, feel free to come forward, yes. I think, again, so many times we get caught up with, you know, my life, the things that I'm doing don't matter, and we believe the lies of the enemy that it's no big deal. It's no big deal. But I think God is helping us see that our decisions reflect on Him. And so it makes us say, God, we need you because we don't want to disgrace your name. We want to honor your name, and so we need you. Because if it's left to us, we will fail. But we trust that you will give us strength, that you will give us strength. And so, Father, just now, as we're talking through and looking at what you've given us, we just say, wow. Wow. And we just ask that you would indeed save us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil so that you get the glory and that your name is magnified. When people around us look at us, they see you, the hero that saves. And Lord, I pray right now for those in the room who've not yet allowed Jesus to save them, to rescue them. And I pray that this morning they'll say yes. They'll take the hand of Jesus as he holds it out. Look, I want to save you. I will take your sin. I died for your sin. I will give you the promise of life. I rose from the dead. I can give this to you. And I pray that right now, as the Spirit has been already prompting and helping those people to know that they need to be saved, that right now they'd say yes. Holy Spirit, encourage and help. And I pray that, Lord, salvation will happen this morning. Lord, others of us, we've trusted Jesus, but we're walking through difficulties, and we have hope, and we lift up our hand to you and say, deliver us from evil so that your name is glorified. Your name is hallowed. Father, as we go from this place, as we walk out the doors of Discovery College and down the path to get on a bus or climb stairs to go home, may we hallow your name in every decision. And remember how incredible you are. And may you be glorified in our lives because you are good and you have saved us. We pray all of this in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus.